Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 93.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. As we've been doing last season and all of this season, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews we've received from our listeners. But before we do that, I just want to let everyone know that I'm really, really sad today because I'm having a really, really good hair day and I'm not going to see anyone today. But yeah.
That's like when you make an appointment to cut your hair because your hair's just looking straggly. And well, this wouldn't happen to you, but happens to me, where your hair's looking straggly gross and you have to keep putting up into a ponytail because it never looks good. And then the second you make an appointment to cut your hair, like all of a sudden your hair starts doing these amazing things and just like radio.
Okay. I literally like, because we recorded an episode before and then we always go to the toilet in between our episodes because Kelly and I just pee constantly. So I went to the toilet and I looked at my hair and I was like, because I booked in for this hairdresser that books out like 2 months in advance, and I booked him 2 months ago. So I need to go. I'm going to him in like a week or two. And I looked at my hair and I was going, oh my God, my hair has just looked rubbish for 2 months. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, you are having a fabulous hair day. Yeah. And it's right before, I have been waiting 2 months for this hair appointment, but I just needed you all to know that that happened because no one's going to see me today. And yeah, if you could all just imagine my fabulous hair today, that would make me very happy. So our review has come from the lovely Monica Dory, and she says, this self-help podcast is lighthearted, kind, and practical. I find myself looking forward to each episode as it comes out, often prioritizing listening to Straight and Curly over some of my other subscriptions.
Oh, thank you, Monica. And thank you for saying we are kind, because we like to be kind. And sometimes, you know, when we get a bit like on our soapbox about things, I sometimes do finish recording and think, was I kind today, or was I like a little bit over the top and judgy? So hopefully that means that we're not. You know, you're always a bit more
kind. I have the same thought. I think you're much kinder than I am. I think I'm the one that.
Well, you have no emotions, so it's hard. No.
There is that, yeah. Okay. It's the whole being dead inside thing.
Anyway, thank you, Monica, and thank you everyone who has left a review for us. I think when I last checked, we were up to like 137 or something, and it was a 5-star overall rating. So we appreciate that so much because it does help new people discover the show and it helps us help more people. So thank you so much.
Now that you just said that, I think that my podcast app is broken because mine's been stuck on 129 for like a month.
I found it in like in our Omni, who hosts our website, they kind of compile all our reviews in one spot because we can only see certain reviews, whereas on iTunes. So yes, there you go.
Nice. All right. Well, now we've sorted that out. So this is the suggestion for this episode came from our lovely listener, Fiona, and I'm totally throwing Kelly under the bus here, but productivity for parenting came up and I thought that would be a great thing to cover on the show. I, of course, will be completely useless in this episode as I do not have children, but I have spent 10 years in the online space and I know that people without children are not allowed to suggest things to people who do have children. I know that. So I will not be doing that today. I will just be interjecting with shit tips I've read on the internet, shit parenting tips I've read on the internet, and just say the occasional unhelpful thing after Kelly says something.
All right, there. So that sounds like an amazing plan. Thank you. No pressure. I guess I want to start with a disclaimer that my tips are what work for my personal situation, which is a husband and 2 school-aged children with no special needs. They're, yeah, pretty – I wouldn't say they're easy, but they're probably as easy as kids get. I do all the household. I'm the one who's responsible for all the household thinking because my husband does all the business thinking. So that's kind of how our relationship dynamic works. And when I say productivity tips, I kind of mean things that help us move through the day more efficiently, minimize fast, and create space in our days to move more slowly at points in the day. So I don't see productivity as being how do I fit as much as possible into each day. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that when we talk about productivity, that's where I'm coming from. But first, I know Carl's has got kind of like one major tip to share about who she thinks is appropriate to follow online?
So I've got two people, I think, people who want to be organized parents should follow. One is the Organized Housewife, Kat. I'm pretty sure she's Queensland-based, actually, and she yes. does brilliant things. She's got printable planners and lunchbox ideas, cleaning ideas, and she's got 4 kids, I believe, and is just an organization maverick and runs a very successful blog and business as well, and she's also a complete sweetheart. You also need to follow Planning with Kids. That's Nicole Avery. She also, how many kids does she have?
She has, do you know? 5 kids.
5 kids. Oh my God. Wow.
Carly's brain just exploded.
Just totally exploded. Yeah, I don't even have 5 awesome. Friends. Like, like having 5 children, like what do you do with them all? That's just, wow.
I grew up as 1 of 5, so, and I kind of made a promise to myself that when I was a mum, I would not be doing that. I would just stick to 2, and luckily that's how life panned out, because, yeah, I do not know how my mum did it. I think my mum did it just by things being able to roll off her and being naturally organised and having lots of help, because when you have 5 kids, there's a big gap between the first and the 5th, so the older one can usually help, and the older one was me, so... Lucky my mom.
It was also just more of a thing back then. I think women weren't really expected to work and a lot of the time didn't. So they just kind of, I think if you didn't work, you could take care of 5 kids a lot more easily than if you did, I guess.
Well, that's it. I don't know. I look at people.
Is that a fair thing to say? Am I going to get in trouble?
I don't think so. It is. If your full-time job is being the person at home looking after the kids, it's full on. It's not easy, but it's easier to do them
definitely not.
With having a job. Whereas Kat and Nick both run very successful blogs, and that's their businesses, and they work those around the management of their household and their kids. So that's why they have lots of great tips to share in that regard, and they're good.
And Nick with Planning with Kids does lots of good meal planning and stuff. And the thing I really like about Nicole's stuff is that all of her meals and things that she makes for her kids are really healthy. Yes. Like if you follow some of the meal planning stuff in America, they just have no regard for health whatsoever. It's just big lumps of carby gross food that they shove in lunch boxes. But I really appreciate Nicole's approach of making sure that there's lots of, you know, fresh things and vegetables and stuff in all of her kids' lunch boxes. So if you're looking at for health conscious meal planning, Nick's your gal.
Yeah, she definitely is. Okay, so I'm going to kick into my very first tip, and that is going to be mornings being super, super important, because, and this is something I've always felt pre-kids as well. So I always felt if you started your day rushed and harassed and yelling at everyone, then it's very hard to pull the rest of the day back together. So you kind of, the rest of your day is going to be spent being angry and yelling and harassed with people. So I do everything I can to make my mornings smoother, which for me involves doing as much as I can the night before. I admit I used to pack lunches the night before. I don't do that anymore because I do have quite a big chunk of time in the morning to do that now, but I kind of lay the kids' school clothes out, because what that stops is looking for clothes in the morning, finding out there's no socks, running around going, where are the socks, or why can't you find your socks? And so I lay their clothes out, I lay my own clothes out, and I do a 10-minute tidy every night. So every night before I go to bed, I make sure our living area has been tidied up and the kitchen is all clean so all the surfaces can be seen. Because that means when we start the day, then, because if you've ever like gone, oh, you know, see that sink full of dishes, I'm just going to leave that for the morning. And if you've ever woken up and come downstairs in the morning to a sink full of dishes, and you know that sinking feeling, and it just feels like you're starting the day off a bit behind the eight ball. So I try to start my days off a bit in front of the eight ball. And, you know, my whole family knows what our morning routine looks like. So everyone knows what's expected at them, of them. They know at what point in the morning things happen. And, you know, you laughed about this on our last show, like how can your morning, do you seriously like use that morning time where your kids are getting ready for school to as a chilled out part of your day? But
just going to relax and pack some lunches, guys.
And that's just really what happens. I kind of just casually, very slowly pack lunches and move around the kitchen. The kids are having breakfast, getting dressed, reading books, watching TV. I'm not too fazed what they do in the morning, as long as they're not yelling and screaming at each other and as long as they're not running around like maniacs. So our mornings are pretty chilled. And the thing is, I could be doing a lot more. I could be just quickly checking an email, or I could be putting on a load of washing, or I could be prepping stuff for dinner that night. There's a lot of things I could be doing in the mornings, but I choose not to. I choose to keep those times free of doing other stuff so that they can be chilled, because I just find that when I cram our mornings full of things, they end up getting rushed. I end up getting very shouty. And yeah, I just feel like it's important to start off your day in the way in which you would like it to go on. So I set my day. I do a lot of things to set things up to facilitate that. And I do find other people, when they do what's needed to make that happen, it's like this big like light bulb moment for them of like, oh, so mornings don't have to be crazy town. Mornings actually can be relatively chilled if I do this, this, and this. And when I make my mornings chilled, the rest of the day seems so much easier. So I'm interested to hear from people in the group whether I'm just completely out of the box in this regard, or whether this is something that is worth making happen, you know. Yeah.
And is achievable.
Yeah, that's right. Is this achievable just because I am who I am and my family are so used to me and they know it's easier to fall in line with how I say things should happen, and it's kind of like it's in their best interest to make our mornings chilled, or whether this is something anyone can achieve and anyone has achieved. So I'm definitely interested to hear from everyone in the group in that regard. Like, Carls, have you got a really stupid tip?
I do. These are ones that I found. I was Googling shit parenting tips, and most of these are from Reddit, but some of these are from just like random blogs that I found. So tip number one, smack your child's gums with a spoon to see if they're teething.
Fantastic. So yes, let's hear. I'd love to hear if that's anyone else has tried that and see if it's been effective for you.
But I also just one little note on that. In my experience, you fucking know when a kid's teething.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to smack.
Just throwing it out there. No, they'll tell you. You know.
So my second tip is to limit the number of extracurricular activities. Extracurricular is really hard to say, FYI. So that's the stuff that's, you know, I just feel like in this day and age, more so than when we were growing up, the sheer amount of stuff that is available to our kids is so, so much more. And I do feel it's very easy to get caught up thinking that if our kids exhibit the slightest interest in something, we are really obliged to give them an opportunity to pursue that interest. Otherwise, you know, we're robbing them of the chance to be a future Olympian or Nobel Peace Prize.
Robbing the world of a genius.
Exactly. We owe it to the world to nurture all our children's interests. But the thing is, by the time your kids are all learning an instrument, playing two sports, doing swimming lessons, and every single afternoon and weekend is booked up, like this, obviously, you know, this is common sense. This is not good for anybody. So the parents are exhausted from tag teaming and being taxi drivers. The kids are exhausted because they've had no downtime. And the reason this affects kind of productivity at a household level is because if everyone is exhausted, things aren't being done efficiently, everyone's yelling at each other, everyone's cranky at each other, and things in general are just taking longer than they have to. So I really encourage people to evaluate and put a ceiling on extracurricular activities with kids. I mean, my parents growing up, there was five of us. We got to do one winter sport and one summer sport. And if we wanted to do something extra to those things, we had to be able to find our way there, like get a lift with another parent or something like that. So, and I thought that was fair enough. When you've got five kids, you know, 10 sports adds up quite quickly.
There was only two of us and we had the same thing. I was only allowed to do dancing or drama, and then I ended up picking drama, like I had to pick one over the other.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe we robbed the world of a great future dancer, but, you know.
Yeah.
We've all got talents. We've all got things. We get there in the end. And, you know, we can't all be perfect.
I could have been the first plus-size prima ballerina, you guys.
You could have. For real. And you could have changed the face of ballet forever, but we will never know.
No,
thanks,
Mum. And
you know what? We have to be good with that. We have to just get comfortable with the fact that we are probably stunting our kids' development in some way, and it doesn't matter because they will do other things. So, yes.
That is true. So tip number two, if your child has hiccups, call an ambulance because children don't get the hiccups.
Just as a total side note, like both my kids used to get the hiccups bad when they were in my belly, and it's just the weirdest and most disconcerting thing when you've got a hiccuping baby in your belly, especially as Jaden used to do it every night just before, just as I was falling asleep, all of a sudden my belly would start just jumping up and down, and I'd be like, dude, really? Really? Because that's just not cool. So anyway, a little complete. That was a Carly kind of side note, Carly level start.
Yeah.
I'm taking over from you in this episode. My third one, and again, like my tips are also boring, but, you know, sorry, but routines are essential. It's kind of like, if you do the same, if there are things that you do every day that are the same things, like making school lunches or getting the kids dressed or going for a walk or driving to school, like anything that you do every day, you can build a routine around it. So in my house, we have a morning routine, a home from school routine, an evening routine, a go to bed routine, a Saturday morning routine. And all these routines do is they just ensure that everybody knows what they need to be doing and when. And the biggest payoff of this is no surprises. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't like surprises, you know, on a household level. And if you have small kids, you especially know that small kids do not like surprises, and they don't. Yeah, they just don't like things being out of whack. And when there are surprises, they have full-blown meltdowns. I, as an adult, have full-blown meltdowns when things catch me by surprise. So I can hardly expect my kids to deal with those things better. So that's why I like routines. They just reduce surprises in my day, unwelcome surprises. And, you know, of course, they're just key to productivity as well, because it's so much easier to get stuff done if you do it at the same time, in the same way, every single day. And I do know a lot of people resist routines because they see them as restrictive, or they're rebels and they don't like following rules. And if you are that kind of person, just don't call them routines. Call them rhythms. If each day has a – no, this is a thing. This is totally a
thing. No, I like it. I like it. I was just thinking about all the rebels I know. The second you say routine, they're like, fuck you. Yes. And you're like, no, flow. But flow. It's your flow. Yes, it's your groove. It's your vibe.
And rebels love rhythms that fits much better in their mind. So, yes, go with the rhythm. It is basically the same thing, but it just has a different name. It doesn't trigger that same thing in your brain that the word routine does. And they're just soothing and helpful, and I live and die by them with regard to just life being happy, basically. Yes.
So my third tip is that this came from the 1920s. If you're an angry person, an angry mother, you will cause your baby to have colic. And also, breastfeeding mums could run dry by engaging in worry, grief, or nagging.
Aww. These are probably
The worst thing ever? Like, that's really sad. Yeah. Imagine women hearing that in the 1920s and thinking that, you know, because they got sad once, they're not producing enough milk for their child. I mean,
and the thing is, it's women, like most things like that, there's an element of truth to it. But, like, you know,
yeah,
like, women don't need help feeling guilty about stuff, and this stuff,
God no,
is not helpful. So
I do need to say that all of mine are jokes.
Yeah.
Like, they're real tips, but I'm saying them in jest.
Yeah, they're real tips.
Just in case anyone thinks I'm just like, guys, seriously, hiccups, like, call a freaking ambulance. Get on it.
Oh, my fourth tip. Make sure your kids have jobs when they are old enough to have a job. And when I say a job, like jobs in the house. So, for example, my son's jobs each morning are to sweep the pool and reset the living room to the way it should be before we leave for school. And my daughter's job is the playroom. And my son now also does Saturday morning breakfast, and he can make coffee now too. So he makes me he calls it a vegan bowl. It's not a vegan bowl because there are eggs in it, but he puts spinach and scrambled eggs and avocado on the top, and he brings that to me with a cup of coffee, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever aimed for in my life.
That's kind of why you have kids, right?
So that really, they can
bring you food.
So that's been so amazing. So yes, give the kids jobs as soon as they're old enough to have jobs, and hold them accountable to doing those jobs. They miss some kind of privilege if they don't make those jobs happen. So Yes, that's my tip number four. What about your crappy tip number four, Carl?
My crappy tip number four comes direct from one of my mother's friends. She's my friend's mum. She's totally batty. And she said, don't let your daughters wash their hair when they've got their period.
Because they're probably not even allowed to go in the shower when they have their period, right? Like,
I have absolutely no idea. I've had several discussions with my friend about this thing, and she said her mum can't explain it, but you're just not supposed to wash your hair when you've got your period. And also her mother continues to not wash her hair when she's got her period to this day. And I actually, every time I wash my hair when I've got my period, I think about her every time.
Yes,
because I just think that's so crazy. Like, what? I don't understand how anyone reached that conclusion. But also the fact that she's a grown, intelligent woman who just got this like old wives' tale stuck in her head and still doesn't wash her hair when she's got a period.
We should get people to tell us some of the old wives' tales that they know are completely irrational, but they still abide by.
They still do it. Yeah.
Okay, so my fifth tip is to lower your standards for the jobs that other people are doing, which is really hard to do. But I'm just going to put this out there that if I, Kelly Exeter, can lower my standards with regards to neatness and cleanness around the house, anybody can do it. So does my daughter clean up the playroom in the way that I would, or does my son set up the lounge room, you know, with the cushions in exactly the right spot? No, they do not, but they do it good enough. And if I can't help myself, I can then go through and, you know, fix things up afterwards, but at least they are doing the groundwork. Does my husband clean up the kitchen exactly the way I would? No, but it's, you know, it's good enough. And if you can't handle a job being done below the standard that you want it done, just remember it's going to be your job forever. So Aunt can't handle how I iron shirts. So I don't have call to do it very often, and I don't have a high care factor. So like, as in, I have pretty much zero hair care factor. I'll just do it for him just to help out, like if we're going to a wedding or something. And now he's like, look, just don't even worry, because I'm just going to have to do it again. So that's not my job ever. But hanging clothes on the line, on the other hand, is my job forever, because I'm very particular about how clothes are hung on the line, and nobody else in the house seems to be able to do it in that way, despite me giving lessons. So unfortunately, that is my cross to bear for the rest of my life. But, you know, the things that you care about deeply, just understand, like, they're your job forever, but make sure there are enough things in your life that you don't care about deeply, and they're the jobs that you hand off to other people. That's a good way of
– that's also going to be my new – that's going to be my new favorite saying now, is when someone asks me to do something I don't want to do, I'm going to say, I just have a really low care factor.
Yeah, I don't think my care factor for executing this job matches yours, and it's going to be in your best interest to do it yourself.
It's just not high enough. That's the problem. That's where my care factor is at. So my shit tip.
You got to go to number six, because that is awesome.
Oh, okay. So my shit tip number six is, don't have a cat and a baby, because the cat will smell the milk on the baby and eat the baby.
Are these legit things that people have written on the internet?
They're legit. It's legit things. These all came from half of these are from like a 1920s manual on how to have a baby, and most of the other ones come from a Reddit thread of things like this is stuff that people have actually said to other people.
Oh my god.
So mothers-in-law, strangers, mums, that kind of thing.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so my number seven tip, and I've got one more after this, is my number seven tip is something I do not do. So number seven tip is, do a lot of your meal prep on the weekend. I can't do this. Aunt and I, like, we go hard during the week, and then with the goal of then just being completely downtime on the weekends. So our goals on the weekends are spend as much time as we can with the kids, and also spend as much time horizontal as is feasible. So I'm not spending any of my weekend doing a big cook up and getting a head start on the week ahead in the kitchen. Like, you do 3 hours in the kitchen kind of getting your meals ready for the week ahead, and that's I aspire to that, but I just can't bring myself to do it. So it's something that Nicole Avery from Planning with Kids does, and probably she has to do it because she has got 5 kids and I only have 2, so I can get away with not being as organized. But yeah, my tip, you know, sorry, rephrase that. My life would be easier during the week if I did that prep over the weekend, but the payoff for me is not worth the pain of the weekend prep. And I'm just going to kind of shoot straight into my eighth tip because it's related to that. For any kind of productivity tip or hack, the pain of doing the hard thing of being organized has to be outweighed by the payoff. So as an example, I have a friend who is pathologically late, and for her, the pain of doing the things she needs to do to be on time is not outweighed by the payoff of having people not angry with her. And the reason is she has a really high tolerance for people being angry with her for being late. Like, rolls off her. So me, I have a very low tolerance for people being angry with me, period, much less for being late. So I'm always going to do the things that are required to be on time. For my friend, it's not an issue for her. She's not that fazed by people being angry. So it's harder for her to do the hard things. Another friend really likes the idea of more routines for her family because she can see that in theory they would make her life easier. But the thing is, like, flying by the seat of her pants and always being a little bit rushed and disorganized doesn't really faze her because that's how she's always lived her life. And, you know, so that for her, the pain of creating routines and sticking to them is never going to be outweighed by the payoff that she gets. And, you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to create routines or put certain things in place to be more organized and they're just not happening for you, maybe the pain is not there, or maybe, like, the payoff is just not worth the pain. So for all that we are giving, you know, this is what our podcast is about. It's about giving productivity hacks and ideas for making life smoother and better. But at some stage, there'll be parts of your life where you're like, you know what? You know, I would in theory like to be a little bit more organized in this region, but the costs or the consequences of not being organized are not so high, or they don't cause me as much pain as the pain of overcoming them, if that makes any sense. Like, overcoming anything requires you to do something that's, you know, boring or annoying or being prepared. And sometimes it's just not worth it. So for me, doing a big cook up on the weekend, the payoff is not worth the pain of being in the kitchen for 3 hours on my weekend. I just don't want to do it. So yeah. Have you found that, Carl? I think
that's completely valid. Yeah. I find that completely valid. And also, I really enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
And I enjoy my time in the kitchen. And also, I don't have kids. So 3 hours on a Sunday for me is not as big a sacrifice as it is for you. Yeah, it is. And, you know, because Ben and I are both business owners, we work a lot on weekends as well. So he'll often be working and I'll be off cooking and, you know, doing our different things. And it's, yeah, I don't necessarily think that meal planning works for everyone. And also, meal planning for me works really well because I'm not really into food. I don't care about it that much. I don't mind eating the same thing every day. And there are some people that are just so much more, they have a much more heightened palate and they care about what they eat more. And the thought of eating the same thing every day is just like, what are you doing? Why would you waste your life like that? And if you are really into food, then make beautiful meals every night. If you enjoy it, do it. But if you don't enjoy cooking, meal planning does. So if you don't enjoy cooking, there's one thing that meal planning does is that it limits the amount of time you actually spend cooking. So rather than doing it for an hour every night, you do 3 hours on the weekend, and you also don't have cleanup associated every night with it
and
as well.
And the cleanup, that's the thing that gets me.
The cleanup, yeah.
The cleanup that is associated with meal making. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But yeah, and so ultimately, yeah, I was going to say this applies to the tips we've shared today, but ultimately applies to all the tips we share in all the shows that we do, is that if something is not working for you, it's not because you're hopeless. It's easy to fall into the pattern of thinking, oh, it's just because I just can't make this happen and I'm so useless. And it's probably just because the pain is not there. If the pain was there, you would do something to come, you know, get over the top of it. So yeah, that pretty much wraps us up for today. Exciting.
Yes, it sure does. So we don't forget that we have a book and it is about diets and lifestyle detoxes. It's not just about diets. It's also about lifestyle detoxes, like giving up coffee, whether or not you should do it, the benefits of doing that, also giving up, you know, social media and screens, that kind of thing. It's just a really good thing, particularly because it's still the beginning of the year. So if you're struggling to get kickstarted onto your year of self-improvement, that's a pretty good place to start. We also have set up a Patreon page.
Yes, and we have two goals for that Patreon page. We'll just tell you the first goal for now, because let's get to that goal first before we start shooting any further. And the first goal is to get to $500 a month of pledges. And what that does is it just, yeah, it just pays for the show. We pay money out of our own pockets to produce the show. There are production costs of associated with it. If our listeners could help us pay those production costs, it just frees us up a little bit more, just to do more things, basically, and it takes the pressure off us paying to do the show, basically. So if you love listening to the show and you want to support it, just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly. And Carl's, who are our newest patrons?
Our newest patrons are Valerie and Vanessa. Thank you so much for supporting our show. It really does mean the world to us. Most people have been pledging about $4, which equals $1 per episode, and it's about the cost of a cup of coffee per month. So if you can spare that, it would be amazing for us.
That would be amazing. And yes, as always, we would love you to come into the group after listening to the show and tell us what you thought about today's show, and let us know if you have anything to add. I'm sure you do. I only mentioned 8 tips, and I know there are like a billion productivity hacks for parents. So come and share your favorite productivity hacks. Everyone in the group would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.